It's a little slower in coming in higher latitudes and altitudes, but spring is in full swing. Even some of the hillsides that looked a bit tan over the winter look green at the moment, often with some other colors from the flowers mixed in. Things grow easily this time of year, but if you're gardening, as a lot more people are since the pandemic, we found, a little expertise goes a long way. We invited Lynn Kunstman at the Jackson County Master Gardeners to join us last year to walk us through gardening season. She's back with us weekly now to answer our questions. Lynn, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, I know I go on a bit about frost, but it is still a factor for part of the region.
Yeah.
And I can't believe the differences in final frost dates across the area we broadcast to. March 2nd in Eureka, May 14th in Grants Pass, June 8th in Klamath Falls.
Right. So depending on elevation and whether you're east side or coastal side, those dates are wildly different. Yeah, just because of the microclimates that occur, you know, in those various regions. So, yeah, and, you know, just being in elevation, the difference between being up in Ashland or being down in Central Point here in the Rogue Valley can make a huge difference.
Well, I wondered about that, too, because I was looking actually within valley comparisons yesterday, and it seemed like Ashland's final frost date was a little sooner, I think. Is that because frost settles into lower pockets?
That's exactly it. It's cold air drainage. So people have to remember how air flows at night. It flows down slope. Oftentimes people will put survival gardens up a little bit higher, you know, than their stuff that's down in the field. Because if you're at higher elevation, the cold air drains down into the valley. And that's where the frost is going to accumulate. So yes, oftentimes, people in Ashland can put their stuff out earlier than people in Medford or Central Point.
Isn't that interesting? So, and you mentioned living in the Eureka area at one point, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so that growing season, 276 days, that's not much.
That's exactly right, because you have that coastal influence, and so the ocean acts as a thermal sink, and the air coming off of it is warmer. And it prevents a lot of frost, especially right in towns along the coast. You can pretty well, you know, grow year-round there. You know, it's mostly cool weather crops, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you have trouble in the summer growing those crops like melons and tomatoes and peppers that like really intense heat because you don't get that. You know, it's mitigated on the coast.
Oh, sure.
So
okay. Yeah.
You got to grow those kinds of things in greenhouses or under clear plastic or to get them enough heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some you know, if you're getting started with gardens for this season. And I did actually put some stuff in trays myself over the last weekend. And in the process, I was watching some videos about planting seeds in trays. And holy cats! I mean, the fine detail it seems like on some of this. Like, first of all, in terms of soil, I mean, what kind of stuff do you ideally should be planting in for getting things started indoors?
Well, here at Master Gardeners here, we recommend a really good seed starting mix. It's a very fine mix. It has nutrient value in it. You know, the seed has everything it needs to germinate. But once it comes up, it needs nutrition. And so you want to get a soil mix, a seed starting mix that is really has a good nutrient value and good moisture holding capacity. If you're planting them in something gravelly or sandy and the water's all draining away and there's no nutrient in them, you're going to get spindly, not growing little, you know, seedlings.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to have good nutrition and a good substrate to get their roots developed in. You know, we ran tests every year out at in our classes at Master Gardeners. We run tests to show students the difference between different seed starting mixtures and how the seedlings look different depending on what you put them in. And so it really pays to get a good seed starting mix.
How different were the results out of the tests you showed?
Well, I can't name product names.
Oh, sure, but I'm asking about how different the seedlings
look. Astonishingly different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in some cases, the seedlings barely grew at all, and in others, we had these lush, beautiful, you know, little seedlings growing. So it's kind of fun to experiment around and see, you know, try a couple different bags of seed starting mix and see which one works better for you. Be sciencey.
Well, what happened was that after watching the people in the videos at YouTube, draw a pencil down to make a 1/4 inch deep furrow, I'm thinking, I can't even get a pencil into this stuff I pulled out of my backyard.
No. Don't start stuff from your backyard, because soil from your backyard, although it's great for the plants to be in, for the seedlings, it's very hard. A lot of it is clay. It gets dry and, right. and mm-hmm. hard, or it's too sandy if you're in Ashland. So using native soil, plus you have weed seeds in there and pathogens, you know, soil pathogens that can cause the little seeds to rot. You really do. We recommend a sterile seed mix. Mm-hmm. It just protects your seedlings until you can get them into the ground.
Think of it as a nursery then, because it really is that.
That's exactly right. You're creating a little nursery in your home. And if you're using soil that, you know, from your garden, it's got all kinds of molds and mildews and stuff that should be there, but maybe not so good for newly emerging, you know, exotic seeds, which is what vegetables are. Mm-hmm. We're growing exotic plants in our, if you try to do those in native soil, they aren't going to be able to make it. So, yeah.
So what are the things that are native to here? I mean, if you're looking to have something to eat that is something that grew here, I mean, oh, you're laughing.
Yeah. Well, I am not a native edible plants expert. I mean, the first thing that came to mind was camas root. The native people here dug camas root in the spring after it started to bloom because, depending on the color of the flower, there's one type that is poisonous, and so you wanted to know which one you were digging.
Yeah.
But berries, most of the stuff that I know of that you can gather here, acorns, berries, those kinds of things, most of us aren't eating those indigenous foods. And mm-hmm. so there really aren't all of our agricultural crops come to us from from old world countries where agriculture began, mm-hmm. right? The only ones that are native really are tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, which come to us from South America, and maize, which is a North American crop.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, and a few of the cucurbits, the squash.
Mm-hmm.
So those were things that indigenous people here were growing, before Europeans arrived, but most of the things we're planting in our garden now are coming to us from Asia and the Middle East and Europe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so all the more reason to make sure that they get a launch from
they get a launch, that's safe for them.
All right. Lynn Kunzman, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange from Jackson County Master Gardeners, answering your questions and mine about what's going on in gardening and things that we should and perhaps should not be doing. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Wanted to ask, as long as we're talking about starts in the house, also about seed spacing, because some of the stuff is very exact, like, you know, one seed every half inch, that kind of stuff.
It is really critical that you read the instructions on the seed packet. If you put the plants too close together, they are competing with one another and you will not get a crop. If you plant them too far apart, you're not using your space, you know, efficiently. So there's a reason for the spacing and there's a reason for the depth. If you plant them too deep or too shallow, you're going to lose plants. You know, you want to actually, and that's why, you know, using a pencil point to make a 1/4 inch furrow is in those videos that you're watching. It is important to get the seed depth correct. And those nice, fine seed mixes make that really easy to do. You know, if you're doing them in pots
sure,
in your house.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then how about, I noticed if you empty the envelope into your hand, you get some of the seeds sticking to your hand. So I guess better to... All kinds of things to keep in mind here, huh?
I know, yeah. So, we have all kinds of ways that we often fold a 3x5 card in half lengthwise
mm-hmm.
and dump the seeds out in that. And then you can kind of tap them along the row that you're planting, either out in the garden or in a tray, seed starter mix, depending on where you're doing it. And that way you can kind of control or use the tip of a pencil to push them off. You know, one mm-hmm. or two at a time into the little cells in your tray that you're starting them in. That's a very effective way that we have students use in the classroom.
Speaking of which, the student in classroom thing, I mean, I realized that the more I looked at the seed packets and looked at videos and from talking to you, that there's a reason why the Master Gardeners course is many weeks long. It's what, how many weeks is it?
Well, here in the Valley, it used to be 16 weeks. I think it's been shortened to 14 weeks. And for the past 2 years, the 2020 class actually had to stop because of COVID.
Sure.
And we aren't even having a 2021 class for the same reason. So we've lost 2 years of Master Gardener training here in the Valley. And then we also had a supplementary practicum. So the classes meet once a week on Wednesdays for 14 weeks. And I don't know if that's going to stay that length or not. And then we have in Jackson County a very unique program called the practicum, which is a 3-hour lab add-on to the sit in the classroom class. Mm-hmm. And which is the part that the students like the most, because it's actually 3 hours of learning how to plant seeds, learning how to divide perennials to, you know, propagate, and how to propagate plants from stem cuttings, from root cuttings, from how to propagate bulbs. All of the things that gardeners need to do hands-on in their yards is taught in that practicum component. So it's a really valuable thing for people to be able to take here in the Valley.
We have an email here from, I'm not sure if it's Jan or Jan, but wants to know if you can start tomato from previous year's seed.
Absolutely. Tomato seeds will last, they can last 10, even 15 years and still be viable if they're stored in a dry, cool place. Mm-hmm. Many seeds have very, very long shelf lives. There are some that do not and will be less likely to germinate. But there are ways to test for germination ability by putting them in a little damp paper towel and rolling it up and waiting for a few days to see if you get little roots sprouting on 10 of your seeds or so. Mm-hmm. If you put 10 seeds in and only 5 of them sprout roots, then you know about 50% of your seeds are going to germinate. So
it's good math. I mean, sure.
Once again, be sciencey, right?
Right.
I really encourage people to be sciencey.
I think we have a name for our segment finally. Be sciencey.
Be sciencey. Please be sciencey. Please.
Lynn Kunzman back with us on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about gardening. You're welcome to join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Back to the tomato seed question. Just let them dry someplace. Is that the best bet?
So with tomato seeds, you kind of have to, you let them dry like on a paper towel or, you have to separate them from the pulp. Sometimes you can just let them ferment a little bit first in their pulp and then rinse them off and put them on a paper towel or a newspaper to dry. A newspaper might be, whoever gets newspapers anymore, might be better because the paper towel tends to stick to them, you know, they get because of the texture. But you want to let them get completely dry and then put them into an old medicine bottle or even an envelope. You can do that. But you want to make sure that where you store them is very, very dry and cool. You know, they don't want to be in heat. I've even put seeds in the freezer. But people who are storing them in jars often will put in, those little silica gel packets that come in your pill bottles, you know, to make sure that the moisture content is correct for them, because the last thing you want is for your little seeds to mold while you're trying to store them.
Right. I want to ask, spend a little time talking about water, because we're waiting to hear if there's going to be a drought disaster declaration for Jackson County from the governor. There's already a declaration in place for Klamath County, so water is going to be very precious this year. It's not abundant in our region in any year. So there are things to think about for gardeners about ways they can conserve water through the rest of the year.
Absolutely. So, you know, drip irrigation systems, if you can afford to put those in, are the very best way because you're putting water directly on the plant itself. Some people, you know, will even put out milk jugs with a hole pierced in the bottom next to their tomato vine, and they'll just go and fill that jug if they're just hand watering. You know, they fill the jug and then it drips a constant drip of water down to the pepper or the tomato or the melon. That's a way to conserve. But the best way also is to, once this plants are up and established, and that means they're, you know, over 6 inches tall, they're well up and away from the soil level, mulch in around them to conserve the soil moisture. So you'll water the soil around them, and then you'll mulch, and you put a mulch, you know, 2 to 4 inches deep. That can be straw, it could be alfalfa, it could be even grass clippings from your lawn if you spread them thin enough so they're not rotting. Old leaves that you saved from last fall, that's gold. I have bags of leaves on my back driveway, you know, behind my gate, and I use those for mulch in the summer. They're free. And so any kind of shredded bark, any kind of organic material that you can put in under the plants, just remember as that breaks down, it's going to draw some nitrogen from the soil, the surrounding soil, and possibly compete with the plants for nitrogen. So you need to make sure your plants are fertilized regularly. But yeah, that's a really good way to keep the soil moisture in.
All right. So the point being not to let the soil get exposed directly to the sun and dry
don't
out.
Don't let it sit out in the sun and bake. That's going to stress everything. Yeah.
Okay. Once the plants are established, 6 inches or so.
And
you did say shredded bark, so the bark mulch, but what about the commercial bark mulch? Is that good or not for that?
Yeah, you could use it. I veer away. I use it in the paths in my garden where it's not going to compete for nitrogen. I like to use a more balanced mulch like compost or you know, the leaves. The leaves are carbon neutral, meaning that they don't rob nitrogen as they're breaking down. And then so things like alfalfa, of course, are nitrogen high, and so they are actually fertilizing while they break down your plants. But alfalfa is very weedy, and a lot of people avoid using it in their gardens because they're worried about weeds.
Okay, and I hear you about the grass clippings. You don't want the kind that get all clumpy and
well,
and
moldy. If you lay those down too thick, they once again are high nitrogen, and they're going to rot, and they're going to burn things. Yeah.
Okay. So. All right. So good. Then. All right. These are good ideas for making sure that as we get into gardening season, we make sure that the need for water is somewhat less to begin with, and we'll deal with the other parts later. Okay. More to talk about with Lynn Kunzman from Jackson County Master Gardeners next week. Lynn is joining us weekly through growing season. You're welcome to send your questions in through the week, and I'll compile them for her next visit. Lynn, always good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
All right. Take it easy.